Great. Well, as I mentioned just in our pre-chat there, we are continuing today with our series on work and God's kingdom and what are the two got to do together. Remembering we spread last week, if you haven't listened to the message online, Jennifer spoke a great message last week on the theology and philosophy of work as ministry. And one of our points here at Encounter Church is seeing our whole life. We want to encourage each other to see our whole life as ministry. One of the places we spend a whole lot of time is our occupation. And sometimes we can divorce the two. Our work life and our spiritual life can sometimes get divorced, yet nowhere in the Bible do we find them as divorced. We actually see them very interlinked and very interlocked. And so we want to focus on that. And in the next 4 weeks, we're going to be doing that today. So last week, we looked at kind of the philosophy and the theology, if you like, of that. We looked at Genesis, and we looked about work as, before the fall, work was something that we're designed to be. Our God is a creative God. Our God is a making God. He's a worker, and we're made in His image. And so whatever we do when we're at work, we're actually a chip off the old block, if you like, as I read this week. And so today, we've invited three people up who have very different looking occupations. We've invited, I'm going to invite them up, but they all do different things. One's a student, one's in retiree phase, and one's in the paid workforce. And we're going to talk to them a little bit about the nuts and bolts of what that looks like. What does it look like for them? What are the struggles for them to live out the kingdom of God through what they do Monday to Friday? And so I thought that might be helpful. As we do that today, maybe you can, some of the questions for yourself might resonate for yourself, like, how does that look for me? What does that look like? Yeah, that's a challenge for me. Before we do that, one thing that we are going to be doing, I want to announce that we're doing next week. We haven't done one for about probably 4 months, but we like to get groups of workers up the front, or groups of people up the front, and anoint them and pray for them and commission them into their workplace. Just like we'd commission any missionary to any other country around the world, we want to commission people into their workspace. And so next week we're commissioning and praying for those people involved in small business. So whether you work for a small business, you own a small business, next week we're going to have a chance to pray for you and anoint you and send you out. And so be encouraged by that. If that's you, we're encouraged to make sure you're here next Sunday for that. But if I could invite Mark and Marion and Karina up with me, that would be great. If you guys want to come up, and people can give them a round of applause as they come up, because it's going to be a little bit nervous for them. Anywhere you like, Marion. You can choose to sit next to me if you like, or if I smell, you can shift to the two seats down. Very good. So these guys are just very ordinary people, just like yourselves. We thought we'd just ask them today some questions around what does it look like to around ministry as work, and work as ministry, and all that we've been talking about, and all that we're looking forward to in this week. We've given them some articles to read in terms of just getting their head in the right space. I'd like to make those articles available to anyone, talking about the Sunday-Monday divide and why we do that and why it shouldn't be there, a Sunday-Monday divide, but the kingdom of God is actually right through the week. And to introduce yourself, I'd love you just to share a little bit. We talked about occupation. Jennifer talked about occupation last week and what occupies your time. You three are in very different phases of life. Marion, if you could share, start by sharing what is a Monday to Friday. What do you focus on Monday to Friday? What category of life would you put yourself in?
Well, I suppose to young people, it's got a pretty boring, exciting, relaxing life. We don't have to get up and be out of the house at any time in the morning. But for Lee and I, we have routines, and our kids laugh at us. And, oh, Mum, everything's a routine, you've got to do. But if we didn't have that, I think we'd be in a real mess as we get older, because we've got time to sit. We don't sit a lot. That's one thing Lee and I have really worked on. We want to be out in the world doing what God wants us to do each day. Just for us, work is totally different. It's still work we have to do to look after ourselves, our body, our home. We have responsibilities, and that doesn't stop. It's paid work was way, way back. For me, I worked in a secretary office in Pocknung, the big warehouse in Sydney. Before I got married, most of my married life, I've been a home mum at home. But I think work doesn't stop. We still have responsibilities every day, the way I do things, whether I get out of the house and go to work, whether I'm a mum or not, you still have responsibilities.
Yeah, great. And one of the things I think is great about you sharing today, Marion, is there is no retirement in the kingdom of God.
Absolutely not.
We retire, no. We just move into different phases, huh?
No, definitely not. And that's what keeps us going, especially as you get older. Hopefully none of you realise that at the moment, not old enough, but you know, that is the thing. It gets easier to sit and do nothing. And I don't want to be like that. I want to live until God says, that's it today. You know what I mean? And be part of the world. That to me is just so important.
Great. Thanks, Mary. Karina, what about yourself? What are you? What occupies you?
Well, I'm a student, nursing student. So I'm at uni this semester every day, apart from when I'm here at the church working. So I have lectures for each of, so I'm doing 4 units. So each of those has a 2-hour lecture that I go to, or it's online, and also a 2-hour tutorial. So interacting with other students in that time. And I also have, as part of nursing, I have a prac. So this year I have 2-month-long pracs. So this time they're in hospitals or aged care facilities or anywhere like that. So interact with a lot of people.
Great.
But, yeah.
Excellent. And Mark, you're in another phase of life. What does work look like for you?
Yeah, so I'm a geologist. So I work with Rio Tinto at the moment. I've got a group of 10, I think it's 10 people that work in our group. We're a little, I guess, a fairly specialist group in Rio that, sort of our job is, I always try and describe it to people. I don't know if you ever watch CSI, but we're kind of like, a bit like the iron ore equivalent of CSI. We don't look at blood splatter patterns and things like that, but things constantly breaking at work. In iron ore mining, there might be we don't fix diggers and trucks and things like that, but if we have problems with particular types of ore, you know, our customers might be complaining or it's not processing properly or things like that, we get sort of sent in to try and fix those problems, I suppose. So I think sometimes our group gets referred to as a bunch of turbo nerds kind of thing, so that's sort of how we... The group is made up of turbo nerds, really. but it's good. It's good fun.
I've never thought of you as the leader of turbo nerds, Mark, but it's in my back pocket now. Hey, we really believe that ministry is not, doesn't just happen in these walls, but your work is ministry. If I was to say your work is your ministry, what is that, or your occupation is your ministry, what does that conjure up for you guys if when that statement's thrown out there? What does that conjure up? What does that look like perhaps for you? What do you think of when I say that?
I think for me, I guess the one thing I've tried to be... one of the things that a guy said to me at work a few years ago is that he tries to be the same person at work as he is at church and vice versa. And so he tries really hard for his discussion to be sort of the same at church and at work as each other. So he doesn't... he tries as much as he can not to filter what he says, which occupation he's in. And I think what that can do to people around you, in a ministry sense, at least at work, is... you can involve yourselves in discussions with people about what happened on Sunday and things like that at church. Sometimes people ask me, "Oh, how did you go on the weekend? You know, what did you do?" And I don't know about you, but it can be pretty easy to sort of leave the church bit out of that discussion and talk about all the sports things that you did and things like that, or birthday parties. But trying to weave into those discussions stuff that I might have learnt at church, and even if it doesn't have to be a sermon to them, but just a particular topic, I suppose. It can be challenging, and I don't find it the most easiest thing to do, but try and weave spirituality into everyday discussions, I think, and try and move beyond... some of my sort of older friends at work, they think workplace ministry is all about making sure that you don't swear and that the people are uncomfortable swearing around you. And I thought, if that's all Christianity is, like, there's got to be more than that, you know. So trying to move beyond that as well.
Great. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, just listening to Mark and the comments and how the world sees us, and particularly for Lee and I, the living in a retirement village, and can you hear me? Having to cope daily, it's and accept the fact the way people will sometimes tell a really horrible, horrible joke, and for us, or for me, I suppose I should speak for myself, how to not respond with that horrified look as a Christian. Where do you draw that line, you know, and let them see that you're not going to tear them apart or look at them, give that horrible, horrible feeling of, you know, you're bad. I think when you do that, a lot of people do it just to aggravate you and bring out the worst in you. But it's how we accept people. I can't really repeat the story, but when we first moved into the village, there's a lady that lived near us, and she was forever smoking that when we would open our door, it would, in the summer of course, not in the winter, it would come in, and of course most of you know that cigarette smoke and me don't go well together. And I think, how can I handle this? And I met her one day just going down the stairs, and I can't even remember how it came up, but I used a word I wouldn't normally use. I said, look, if I said to you, da-da-da-da-da, and I did it that way, or if I said to you, look, you know, this really upsets me in my home, which are you going to respond to? And, you know, she, as a woman that's known for complete tactlessness, everybody says her name, and it's probably about part of her life why she's like that, but we get on really well. We talk, we communicate. I found out she comes from a very strong Baptist church. Her brother's still a missionary, but she doesn't... So I'm just saying, we've got to look for those opportunities and accept and communicate people. Accept their different views. Sorry, is that
right? Yeah, no, I wouldn't tell you, Marion, that's too much or not enough. That's, we'll just go with when you stop. just teasing me there. So our workplaces, our occupation places, are interesting places. You know, we know that God is everywhere. We learn, we grow up, we learn that God is omnipresent, that he's not just anywhere. But I was reading in Genesis this week in 28 where Jacob has the dream about the ladder, and he wakes up and he says this, something to the lines of, surely God is in this place and I was not aware of it. Was there a time, or has there been a moment where just that clicked? I mean, it's okay to understand that in your head, but is there a time or anything that you can, that where you went in your heart, where you went, you know what, God is actually everywhere. He's actually already in my place of occupation. He's actually already ahead of me ministering in that place, and I'm just kind of coming into that. Is there a time where that is where that's kind of stood out for you?
I can't think of like an exact example, but just those times when everything doesn't seem to be going right and then everything just falls into place. Like, it's, you couldn't have manufactured that or, you know, figured everything out on your own. There was like no way that you could have done it, and then everything just clicks, whether it's with like a person or a situation or like figuring out between life and work and prac and everything, and then it just clicks and it's like, oh, okay, you can do anything. But any different type of situation, and you can just sense his presence, or like talking to a friend at uni, like come across a lot of different people, and so sort of get to know some people if we have the same classes or things through a semester, but then you won't necessarily have the same group of people in your classes the next semester, so you sort of can build up a bit of a therapeutic relationship, we like to call it in nursing. But then, you know, you sort of don't see that person as much.
Yeah.
But in first year, there was this one girl that I had a lot to do with, or, you know, we hung out a lot. And it was cool to, like, have that opportunity when you just sense, like, okay, maybe this is an opportunity to bring up God and, you know, ask where she's at with him, or, you know, does she believe, or what does she think? So I haven't seen her much after that semester, but hopefully that's just like a seed planted that somebody else can water and continue to grow. So
yeah, great.
That's the encouraging thing. It says, for me especially, just listening to Karina, it's that encouragement I get when it says, one sows, one waters, but it's God that gives the increase. And that's something I have found, Karina, in my whole... maybe it'd take a minute. I've never been somebody that had a lot of confidence, and I think it goes back because I was so sick as a child, I hardly ever went to school. And that's been with me, you know, all my life. But probably 30 years ago now, I was in a Bible study one night, and the minister said, oh, before we start, I want you to go around the room and tell me what your gifts are. And I thought, here we go. You know, I hate being up the front. Here I am up the front today, but I don't like being up the front. I'm a behind-the-scenes person, you know. And that I thought about that night, and I really did find my gift. And now I can use that gift, not up here, this is not normally me, but, you know, in our village, when I go shopping, I have had several, and one lady, 3 years ago it is, I was walking by the bus stop, and she just looked at me, and she said, look at this, and she showed me this text, well, how anybody could send a text. And in those few minutes, I was just able to say, yes, but God loves you and forgives you, and the bus came. So, you know, maybe I sowed a seed and that woman will meet somebody else. And that will meet, you know, that's just one opportunity that we get that's very different.
Yeah.
That's who I am at the moment.
Great. And I think we touched on a few conversations before. We talk about workplace ministry, and we talk about, you know, automatically our mind in the Western world switches to success. How do you know if you're successful in workplace ministry? And I know, Mark, that's a big thing. For you, in terms of your thought processes, and in terms of what is successful workplace ministry, or what is it not, perhaps, that you were sharing before that was maybe interesting?
Yeah, I was just talking to Pete before. You know, it's like for all of us, we've all got connections in our workplace, The fruit of us leading people to Christ, you know, whether that be ultimately them coming a decision to devote their life to Him or something more or less than that, sometimes that can be quite invisible to everyone else, you know, because they're certainly not here lining up along the front. We can't sort of see them, and so I think sometimes we have to be mindful of that as a church, you know, that a lot of stuff happens out there that we don't see it, and just because we don't see it doesn't mean we don't value it, or we have to be careful not to value, not to value it, if that makes sense. I think we've had a really interesting year or 18 months in my own group, the 10 or so people in my group at work. I think, with the exception of two or three of them, everyone in there has had a pretty much a close family member pass away, you know, out of the 8 or 9 people. It was almost getting comical in the end, because someone would turn up at work, oh, my uncle's just... It's just like, what is going on in this place, you know? But I think to see the way that the group as a whole has responded to that, I lost count of how many emails I got from the people that were... who had experienced the loss, sending an email back to everyone saying, you know, something like, you know, you guys have been a fantastic work family, you know, we've got more support from you guys than our own family, really kind of heartfelt letters and things like that. And I thought, oh, if... I believe and I hope that that's the influence. There's a few Christians in our group. That's the influence of Christ in the group, working through both the Christians and the non-Christians, probably. But that's the Christ flavour going through the group. I think that's an example of where I hope, you know, I've been able to be a minister in some of the others as well.
Yeah, I think the way we live is and the way we do life, live out our faith is a great thing. I was reading a story this week about a lawyer called Lawrence Tippett, and it was out of a book, and he was in his workplace, and it's a large workplace, and the accounts lady came out to him and said, who's Lawrence Tippett? And he was kind of a bit nervous. He'd never met her before, and he thought the accounts lady's coming out to talk to him. What's he done? And he said, oh, trebly, it's me. And she said, good, we don't want you to change. You're the only one who's not abusing their work entitlements. Just you keep whatever you're doing, you keep doing it. It's a great thing. And remind me of the scripture that... it reminded me of the scripture where it talks about our, we do good deeds that Christ's light might shine throughout the place. And we don't do good deeds because of our to show God. We do good deeds out of worship to God, but God shines through those good deeds. And it just reminded me again what you were saying, Mark, about how we live out our faith is really important in the small things. Now, you guys all have spiritual gifts. Everyone here has spiritual gifts. We all have. And last week, I think Jennifer put it really well, that our spiritual gifts and our natural talents don't work against each other. They're actually given by the same God. They actually work in together. I remember when I was working at the local in local government, God, I'd been working in church sort of style work for pastoring for 12 or 13 years, and had a break and was working in local government. I remember God saying to me, how are you pastoring? Because that's a gift of mine. And I remember having a conversation with God, saying, well, I'm not pastoring, God. I'm working here at the local government. And he said, no, how are you pastoring? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, how are you pastoring with the gift that I've given you, the people who are sitting around from you? And it really just highlighted to me that my gift is not, it's not about a location. It's how I use it. So it's just for you three in very different situations. You've got spiritual gifts and you've got talents. Maybe could you share how those spiritual gifts play out for you, or those natural talents, how they play out for you in your occupational scenario?
Oh, you can go first.
you go.
The
trying to think of the appropriate titles of the spiritual gifts.
Just shoot one. It'll be fine.
Just, I have a very caring nature. I'm always, you know, the motherly-ish figure. Being on PRAC and being able to interact with, like, the patients and even the other staff members, and just like building a relationship with them, which is a big part of nursing, which is why I love and want to be a nurse. But just being able to care for them, you know, when they might not be able to do it themselves, and showing God's love for them in that. There was a nurse who I met on my last prac. She's a Christian lady, and it was really great to talk with her and get to know her, and she's, you know, not glazé about it or any of that. She's, you know, letting the world know that she loves Jesus and what he does for her, and that really inspired me. You know, just how easy it is for her to talk about it in any situation, and so we had some really great chats. Something that she mentioned was, you know, the people around her, I don't know if there were any other Christians on her ward that she worked on, but showing them in her actions and in her words and, you know, actively showing God's love through that, in, you know, there might not always be the opportunity to talk about God, you know, it's hyped up environment and you're not as much of the slow moments, but yeah, just showing in her actions and how she does things and how she interacts with people, and that can be how she ministers to the people around her. And so that's something that, you know, I took from her and I've definitely been trying to do, but yeah, it doesn't always have to, you don't have to outright say God loves you, though sometimes that is what people need, or that's what he puts on your heart to tell people. But just in your actions and words, you know, and people notice that there's something different about you. And yeah, just showing God's love. That's probably my
excellent
main.
Do you want to show Mark?
I think I guess one of the reasons I've ended up with this job at work is I kind of like leading small groups of technical people, and so there's a bit of a leadership role there, but I remember reading somewhere that the leadership is getting people to want to do what you want them to do, as opposed to making them do it or whacking them until they do it kind of thing. So I think one of the... I don't know, it's a difficult to explain it in a ministry sense, but I like the opportunity at work to be able to try and encourage encourage the people in the team to actually find fulfilment out of doing good pieces of technical work and be enthused by it and things like that. And I guess part of that is also giving them a sense of perspective. So even in all of the work that they do and things like that, you know, their kids are getting sick, they're getting sick, spouses are causing them trouble. Whenever they are asked for leave, they have to ask me, and it inevitably turns out into this half hour or hour discussion about what's wrong in their lives kind of thing. So I guess in the sense of all that, it's trying to get that good balance between wanting them to do the work, but also understanding or being able to be empathetic as a leader in terms of all of the junk that goes on in their lives as well. So I think I'm okay at that. It's certainly something I've got to get better at, but I see a lot of my role as being able to be able to achieve that, I suppose.
Great. Mary, do you want to share? Because I know you use your gifting a lot. I think my family's seen that. Do you want to share a little bit of that?
Yeah, I see the physical gifts and the spiritual, for me, working together. And I think it is mostly because God brought me to that place to see those gifts He's given me and how I can use them in my everyday life. And especially for where Lee and I are at our age now, because it's encouraging people to smile at someone, even in the supermarket. Some mum that's got a screaming child and can't control it and everybody's glaring at her, you know, and to just perhaps be able... And for me it's easy. I'm not saying for everybody, but that's my gift, yeah. The spiritual and the physical, to walk up and say, can I give you a hand? And to see the change on her face, one particular lady... Everyone's glaring at me, you know. And for me, just to stand there, she said, no, I'll be all right. But, you know, just to take that moment in the shopping centre, we're all busy, we're all rushing, and we're all time conscious. For me, that's where I'm at in life, and that's what I tried to say before. Once I realised that gift, it's no pressure. Oh, you come up against difficult people and things in life. That's what life is. But to use the gift that I feel God's given me to support others, I'm still envious of some of our wonderful gifted people here that can get up here and lead us and bless us so much. But then God reminds me, well, that is a gift they've got and they're using it. But I have my gift behind the scenes, you know, to encourage them to say something at just a given moment that can make that person not think about what their burden is or what their problem is at that moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
That's who I am at the moment. And I love it. It is sometimes a bit difficult. You'd think, is this the right thing to say to this person? But, you know, to sow that seed and leave it in God's hands, I find that, for me, wonderful.
Great. Very good. Well, guys, I want to thank you for sharing. We just had them share just briefly here. Hopefully that's triggered some thoughts for you. Workplaces, occupational places, we could sit here today and discuss about the ethical issues you have to deal with. I know some of you deal with really big ethical issues. Some of you deal with really big moral issues. Some of you deal with how to live out your faith under the stress of people talking all the time and all that type of stuff. And so we could talk a lot about today. But today we want to just engage, just get you thinking about your workplace, your occupation place, but also just encourage us. This whole series is encouraging us that faith isn't a personal thing. Actually, faith is a community thing, and it's not just on one day. It's actually across your whole workspace. And actually, what you do on Monday to Friday, Saturday, is actually really important. God actually is already in those places, and He actually engages you with you in those places. And it's not just about how many people do we share the three P's or the three D's of Christ with, but actually, how do we live out our faith around it? There's a great saying. There's five Gospels. Most people won't read the first four, but they will read your life. And so the way that we live in our spaces is really, really important. And we want to be a church that encourages that your work is your ministry, and that is really important. There was another thing that I read this week that said your workplace is the place that's unavoidable. It's unavoidable witness place. Non-Christians can't tune you out. You can't tune out your workmate. You actually work next to each other. But also Christians can't schedule people out. So, you know, as Christians, we can't pick and choose who sits at the desk around us normally. But who sits at the desk around us is, or at the out on the work site with us is actually who's been placed around us. And we can't change that. And that's a real gift. And sometimes as people of faith, we try and steer clear. Or sometimes as people of non-faith, we try and shut the other people out. But we have to live next to each other. We have to work next to each other. We have to deal with the same pressures. We have to deal with the same issues and the same. We actually have everything in common with every person that's breathing. We all are in the same sphere of life, and so work puts us in those places. And that's really what I want to encourage us about. So often we stand at the front of a church and we say, you know, we need to make contacts. We need to reach bridges. But the truth is that we already have a massive amount of contacts. So if you could just take 1 second now to think about all the people that you come across in your occupation. Whatever that be, student, retired, in the workforce. I'd love you just to take 30 seconds now just to think about all the people that you come across that you have interaction with via email, via phone, via face-to-face contact. Just take 20 seconds to think about the amount of people that you have contact with. It can be daily, yeah. Make it daily. I'm asking for clarification up the front. Great. What you'll find is that we actually have a massive interaction with a lot of people. And so often we talk about things from the front of the church and we say, you know, go out and make bridges and find people. I think our call should be, how do we interact more like Christ with the people that we're already interacting with? That might be a more truer way to engage us as people of faith in the workplace, in the occupational space. We're very engaged with people, no matter what our sphere is. And so, in his way of finishing today, I want to encourage us to be open about talking about what we do, be open and engaging where faith interacts with that. Be encouraged in what you're doing is really, really important. It's not something that we often go, I just do this, or I just look after the kids, or I just... There is no such just in the kingdom of God. That's what you do, and it's really, really important. And if over the next 4 weeks we can encourage you that God is very interested in what you're doing, God is already engaged in the places where you are, and he wants to inspire you to live out his values, then that will be a great series and a great thing that God can do amongst us in this place. And so be encouraged. Thank you, Mark, Karina and Marion, for sharing a little bit, being open about your place. We could talk forever about what you do, and I encourage other people to talk with you about what you do, but thank you very much today. And while I'm praying, I'm going to let you escape from the stage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we want to thank you so much that you have placed us in great places. Lord, whether we work on a trade site, whether we work in an office, whether we're a stay-at-home parent, whether we're in a retired phase, whether we're whether we're deemed incapacitated to do things, Lord, that you have placed us in places. You've allowed us to be in places so that we can share the glory of God through our lives, through our words, through our actions, and through the way that we interact. Lord, today I want to pray, Lord, that you would inspire each one of us. Holy Spirit, right now, would you anoint people, each one of us in this room, would you anoint us, Lord, for your work, for your ministry. So it says in Colossians, like it says in Colossians 3:17, that whatever we do, wherever we do it, that it might be for the glory of God the Father. Lord, may we understand that in our heart, not just in our head. Lord, may church not just be a 1.5-hour thing for us, but it may be an inspiring of our spirit to live that out through all the week. Lord, I pray that for those of us who are finding it hard in our places of occupation at the moment, who are struggling, would you, Lord, please remind us that you are with us in those places. Lord, would you meet us in those hardships? Lord, for those of us who are facing hard moral decisions, for hard ethical decisions, Lord, again, would you guide us? Would you give us wisdom? Wisdom that goes beyond anything that we've read, Lord, that helps us to navigate through the trickities of the intricacies of the situation. Lord, for those of us who are just dealing with, just feeling like the work is a grind, it's just hard, Lord, would you give us a moment of joy this week? Would you bring a moment of sunshine into that place? Would you bring a ray of your love into that place? Or we might again experience that, hang on a second, we're not here alone, that you are in this place with us. Lord, would you open our eyes? Lord, for those of us who are loving our work, would you continue to inspire, continue to encourage? Lord, open doors for us with the people who work on the left and the right of us, the people that we bump into, maybe the person we order something from, the trade that we contract to our business. Lord, would you give us opportunities, Lord, to live out our faith. Lord, may our deeds that we do to honour and worship you, may they shine the light of Christ wherever we go. Lord, it's our desire that people would know you by the way that we live, by the way that we deal with troubles, by the way we deal with hardships, by the way we deal with success, by the way we treat others, that people would know that you are a God who is alive, who is breathing, who is living, and wants to love and know people. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.